evening and welcome to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I am just so happy every Sunday evening to sit down at this happy microphone at 6:60 a.m. The Answer and talk with you, North Texas, and really my friends around America who've told me they're tuning in online. So I appreciate everyone tuning in, and it is a cold, wet, and soon to be sleety evening here in North Texas. And so I'm happy to be here in this nice warm studio. And we have a great and very packed show planned for you this evening. And Ladies Can We Talk? Our theme is All Issues Are Women's Issues. And really, the reason I do this show and the reason I wrote the book Ladies Can We Talk? The reason I speak around the country is to inspire women and everyone to thinking about the American political conversation, encouraging you to participate in it, to recognize the decisions we make today are going to shape America's future. And we make decisions not just with our votes, but in our conversations, whether we speak up for America or we're silent. And I encourage everyone to speak up for the goodness and greatness of America. Well, the show tonight, if you want to call in the show, the number is 866-660-5759. And I love to start this first section of Ladies Can We Talk with a little bit of a commentary, something about a news story that really touches on one of the building blocks of America. And we do have a guest calling in the very next segment at 6:15. And that guest is a really very prominent national security expert named Frank Gaffney. He is the founder and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. He's a prominent and outspoken spokesperson for standing up for America's national strength and protecting America. And he particularly focuses on the threats facing America from radical Islam. And he has a tremendous story to tell you in just 15 minutes or less. And I'm excited that he is going to be with us tonight. But this first section, I want to talk to you tonight about the comments made by former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. And I'm guessing everyone who's hearing this actually already knows what Rudy Giuliani said, but in a private dinner, he said something that has since been just gone viral on the internet. It's caused all of the major networks to start questioning the Republican candidates who are running or considering running for president. And Giuliani's comments was this. He said at this dinner in New York City just this past week, "I do not believe, and I know this is a horrible thing to say, but I do not believe that the president loves America. He doesn't love you, and he doesn't love me. He wasn't brought up the way you were brought up and I was brought up, through love of this country." So that's what Rudy Giuliani said. And you know what's an interesting thing? I want to talk about his remarks. And one reason I want to run kind of preliminary commentary is, you know, a lot of people, and even Megyn Kelly on Fox News said, well, who are you to say that? I mean, just because he, President Obama, doesn't believe in exceptionalism, a lot of Americans don't believe in exceptionalism. So who are you to say doesn't love America? How could you even, what do you mean by that? And I'm going to say this, to paraphrase Bill Clinton, it depends on the definition of the word America. It depends what America is. If you think of America as simply a lovely piece of geography on the globe with pretty national parks and lovely mountains and flowing rivers, and lots of people could love the geography here. Lots of people could love, you know, the history, or they could enjoy traveling in America. But the reason it matters to define America is that America itself is an idea. And in that sense, when Rudy Giuliani is saying that President Obama doesn't love the idea of America, I agree with him. And I agree based on things the president has said, things he does not ever say, and things that he does. And so I want to talk with you about that. I will say the media has now found a new litmus question to hit every Republican presidential candidate with. Well, what do you think? Rudy Giuliani said President Obama doesn't love America. What do you think? And I guess they have to answer that. But I want to just tell you what I mean when I say he doesn't love the idea of America. I'll start with just one basic thing. America, and we talk about the building blocks of America on the show all the time, the idea that America consists of ideas, you have to understand them to know why America is good and great and exceptional. And it is exceptional. And if you don't understand those ideas, if you don't know how America got to where we are today, as the most prosperous, full of opportunity, liberty-loving country, then you can't defend it and you can't protect it. And this is part of what President Obama's problem. One building block in America is the United States Constitution. And, you know, I'm not going to go all lawyer on you, but the basic idea of the Constitution is that government, the United States government, exists because we agreed in the Constitution that we would have a government of limited powers. We defined in our founding documents that America, well, starting out with the Declaration of Independence, people have rights from God. Everyone, simply because you were born, you have rights from God. And the Constitution enshrines this idea that government is a limited government designed to protect the rights of the people. That's the purpose of government's existence. And government in America and the Constitution is divided up. We have the elected Congress, the people get to elect people to the House and Senate. We have the executive branch, the president's in charge of that branch. That includes all the agencies and all the federal agencies. And we have the courts, the judiciary. And the reason for those three separate branches of government is to protect against tyranny, to protect against a dictator, a king, to protect someone from against someone becoming a tyrant. That's why they exist. And when President Obama, years ago, before he was running for president, spoke about the Constitution, he actually called it a charter of negative liberties. He was complaining that the Constitution does not give the federal government the power to tell people what they have to do. He complained about the whole purpose of the Constitution is to protect the people's liberty. He wanted the Constitution to give the federal government more power to redistribute wealth and to run people's lives. And so, and I say things he does say and doesn't say. You know, there have been a lot of commentaries, of course, since in the very few days since Rudy Giuliani made this statement that he does not believe President Obama loves America. And he's kind of qualified. I'll give Rudy Giuliani, I will tell you in a moment some of the ways he's qualified things. But I'm going to tell you the things that I observe about America that are fundamental building blocks that President Obama does not respect or follow. One is the simple rule of law. Rule of law means that our system is set up, describes the way we make laws. The people elect Congress and Senate. Congress and Senate pass laws. The executive branch enforces them. President Obama has, and this is a guy who is an alleged constitutional attorney, a constitutional law professor, someone who knows better, has repeatedly violated the Constitution by issuing exceptions in the case of Obamacare, changed the law, which he has no authority to do. He changed it repeatedly. He gave his cronies and buddies and donors breaks from all sorts of mandates in Obamacare. There are just countless examples. You could go to actually Ted Cruz's website, and he lists a lot of them. He has different articles he's written listing them, but utter respect, disrespect for the Constitution. And also, I think another way, and you say President Obama doesn't love America, what he doesn't love is the idea of what America's supposed to be. He doesn't support it. He doesn't try to support it. He meant it when he said, I want to fundamentally transform America. So where we are right now in America is we have a government that is statements out of the president that seem to imply he doesn't really want to care that much what the courts say about what he is doing, that he is determined to follow his version of what he thinks the law should be. And you know, these sound like harsh things, and I don't mean them to sound harsh, but there really is a concern when the president doesn't get the fundamental structure of America. One other big point about the President Obama not loving America, and I could go on and on, but I don't want to do that because I have to actually turn to introducing our next guest, our guest tonight. But President Obama has repeatedly made comments and taken actions that just signify he does not love the idea of America's free markets. He introduced socialized medicine to America. He talks in terms of using the Constitution, using his power as president to, he talked about using his power of the president to use the tax power to redistribute wealth, the purpose of the tax system to, you know, seize people's money and give it to other people, which is all that socialism really is. He really has, through his words, through his way he's spoken about America early on, his first presidency, when he was speaking at his first term, he spoke about exceptionalism and is very dismissive, said, yeah, I think America's exceptional, just like the Greeks think Greece is exceptional. It was a very dismissive and arrogant just dismissal of the beauty and uniqueness of America. And I think this is why Rudy Giuliani's words really, really resonated with the American people, and it caused people concern, because I think what Rudy Giuliani said is what literally millions of Americans have been thinking since approximately January of 2009. More and more Americans realize all the time that what President Obama is about is not serving as a president of this country in the way the Constitution meant. He doesn't defend America with respect to ISIS. We have concerns about the we have radical Islam gone wild in the Middle East, and great concerns that President Obama's efforts to stop them are very minimalized. You know, we can't in this segment talk about his failure to stand up to the biggest enemy in the world in terms of radical Islam, which is Iran. We can't get into that right now, but his whole handling of foreign policy seems apologetic and seems to be trying to draw back from the idea that America has a place to lead the free world. Which it does. The world is suffering because America is not taking on the leadership role it's supposed to have in leading the world, protecting the world with freedom. So I will say last night on Hannity, Rudy Giuliani actually doubled down on his remarks and said that the president is not a cheerleader for America. He's a critic. And maybe that's a good way to wrap up this segment. You know, President Obama does not spend time saying the things that you used to hear from Republican and Democrat presidents all the time. Love for the American people, respect for the American people, gratitude for the sacrifice Americans made in the wars over and over the centuries, or certainly over the last century. You never hear that language of love and respect for the people that is so vital in a president of the United States. So I will tell you that I hope during the course of this show we can turn back to this, because I think that Rudy Giuliani's words set a lot of people thinking, and I think that's a good thing. But we need to turn now. In our next segment, we have a guest calling in. I mentioned earlier, we have Frank Gaffney, who is the head of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C. In addition to being a strong proponent of strong national defense for America, he's also among those, if you go to his website, Center for securitypolicy.org. If you go to his website, you can see something called the Civilization Jihad Document. And what that is, in a short nutshell, is a document that our law enforcement uncovered that shows that radical Islam is working its way into American society through trying to change our culture and our civilization in a much less subtle way than just an overt attack. And Civilization Jihad is one of the many things that Frank Gaffney talked about over and over. So we're now long on this segment. Sorry about that. But right after the break, we're going to come back and talk with Frank Gaffney of the Center for Security Policy. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Liberals and the media try to paint the Republicans as the party of no. But the way I see it, Republicans, or at least conservatives, are the party of yes. We say yes to families, to strong families. We say yes to educational choice for Americans of every income level. We say yes to life, to babies, and to moms. We say yes to legal immigration. Yes to responsible healthcare system that honors the doctor-patient relationship. We say yes to fiscal responsibility, to actually balancing the budget and living within our means. We say yes to keeping America strong and safe, to defending our country from enemies abroad and by securing our borders at home. Every week on my show, I urge Americans to speak up for America and say what conservatives stand for. Because when we say that, the mainstream of America will be right with us. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Save this date, March 5th at 6:30 p.m. Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report for InvestingMakesMeSick.com. The first dinner seminar for 2015 will be at Papado Restaurant in North Dallas. This will be the only InvestingMakesMeSick.com seminar this quarter. Mark your calendar for March 5th, 6:30 p.m., Papado in North Dallas. The goal is to provide education about other investment choices, more than just stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or annuities. You'll enjoy a fine meal at no cost to you, and the dessert is peace of mind. You'll learn how to understand your investments and why you shouldn't invest until you do. You'll also find out why we prefer to come to you. We know you've worked hard for your money. Great information will help you choose how to invest it. To reserve your spot, call 972-463-3833, 972-463-3833, or register by logging on to investingmakesmesick.com. All investments involve risk. Investments may be considered speculative and incur substantial fees and expenses borne by the investor. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Titan Securities. investingmakesmesick.com and Titan Securities are not affiliated.
From Plano to Denton down to Louisville too, Huffines has it. Also in McKinney, we'll prove it to you. Huffines has it.
I've recommended Huffines to my family and friends a number of times. I've told them about my awesome buying experience and how everything is hassle-free.
The fact that Huffines has been around since 1924 makes me assured that they're going to take care of me now and in the future.
And now at both locations of family-owned and family-run Huffines Chevrolet in Plano and Louisville, the prices are falling in February on every new Huffines Chevrolet car, truck, and SUV in stock. Plus, Huffines saves you even more with the highest cash rebates and lowest financing available, and top dollar for your trade. In Plano, see Ray Huffines Chevrolet at Coit Road and Plano Parkway. And in Louisville, Huffines Chevrolet on I-35. For more, click to Huffines.net. Chevy, find new roads.
According to Forbes magazine, Saudi Arabia's Prince Al Walid, with over $21 billion, is the 35th richest person in the world. Being a Saudi prince, you just naturally assume he inherited his money, which I'm sure is partly true. However, he made a lot of his money by investing in banking and financial services, hotels and hotel management companies, mass media, entertainment, retail, agriculture, petrochemicals, aviation technology, and real estate all over the world. He's making money off about anything people buy anywhere. You may not be a Saudi prince, but you can make money on about anything people buy almost anywhere by getting your free blue card. The blue card is a loyalty rewards card that not only gets you discounts on purchases, but up to 5% cash back on what you buy. If you refer someone to the blue card, you could earn money on what they buy. And if you refer the blue card to a business, you could earn on the purchases of anyone who uses the blue card in their store or almost anywhere. There's a billion reasons why you should call 800-685-7470 and get your free blue card. That's 800-685-7470.
660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. And again, I'm so happy you've tuned in tonight to Ladies Can We Talk on this very, very stormy night in Dallas. And I believe we have on the line Frank Gaffney. Sir, are you on with us?
I am indeed.
Thank you so very much for calling in. And I will tell all of you that Frank Gaffney is frequently in Dallas. He actually is he's a national activist on the part of just standing up for America and fighting radical jihad in a variety of ways. And in his past, in his career, he actually worked for President Reagan, and he was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Nuclear Forces and Arms Control Policy in the Reagan administration. And as I mentioned before our break, he is the founder and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. So he's a real national treasure. But so thank you for calling in.
Happy to do it, Debbie, always.
So, you know, I want to talk with you a little bit about, you know, President Obama. I think almost everyone listening knows that last week he held a violent extremism summit in Washington. And he also wrote this piece in an op-ed in the L.A. Times in which he said, Al-Qaeda and ISIL are peddling the lie that the United States is at war with Islam. So, I mean, you're an expert in all this. You've studied the Middle East and all that's going on with radical Islam. Are we or is America or should we be at war with Islam?
Debbie, I would say somebody's lying, but I don't think it's the guys who are professing that they represent the true faith, traditions, practices, doctrine, jurisprudence, institutions, teachings of what the authorities of Islam call Sharia. And I emphasize that word authorities because, you know, you will have people say, well, there's lots of different strains of Islam and different, you know, people have their own respective views on what is what and what they must do and so on. True, to varying degrees, but there's really only one version of the faith that is regarded as authoritative, and that unfortunately is what has been codified over, you know, the better part of 1,400 years in this doctrine known as Sharia. And that's frightening because, unmistakably, the people who adhere to this program, who are considered to be good Muslims by the authorities of Islam, are at war with us. Make no mistake about it. They have to be. It's part of that doctrine.
Yeah, I'm glad you focus. I do want to turn and talk about the conference you held in Washington this past week, and just or 2 weeks ago, in just a moment. But I'm so glad in a lot of what you say and write. You talk about the doctrine of Sharia, and that is just interwoven with the fundamental beliefs of Islam. And Sharia itself requires adherence of Islam to attack infidels. Isn't that about right?
Yeah, it commands them to engage in jihad. And one of the things that, as you study this, you realize that jihad can take numerous forms, and does. One, and considered to be the preferred, most efficient for sure, is terrifying violence, using the model of the perfect Muslim, namely the Prophet Muhammad. That's what they are encouraged to engage in. But there's a recognition not everybody's going to do that or could do that, particularly when you're not strong enough to do so decisively and effectively against, you know, stronger, more numerous infidels. Well, you're supposed to use something different. And the Muslim Brotherhood, which is one of the most toxic of these Sharia-adherent enterprises, kind of spawned all of the jihadist groups in the world today, really. They call it civilization jihad, and by that they mean a sort of stealthy, subversive kind of jihad until you're strong enough to use violence. There's institutional jihad, using things like an institution called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation to sort of commandeer the UN and use its mechanisms to promote, for example, Sharia blasphemy laws. And then there's individual jihad. That's what we've been encouraged to believe is the lone wolf phenomenon. Well, not so. These are people who know it is their responsibility to engage individually where they have to, in groups if they can, to advance the cause of jihad.
Well, as I always say when I see you in Dallas, you're so full of news that's alarming. But I do actually want to turn to you because you did spend, Frank Gaffney, we're speaking with Frank Gaffney, the Center for Security Policy and head of the Secure Freedom Effort in America. And Frank, you've talked about in the time you're in the Reagan White House, you worked with Ronald Reagan and his team trying to understand the variety of ways to fight against communism that were not military ways. And certainly we had to do our military battles where we had to do them. But you talked about the many ways in which Ronald Reagan and his era fought communism in non-military ways. And so are there non-military weapons America has at its disposal that we could be using to fight this global jihad you've described?
Absolutely. And not only are there such techniques that we could use, I believe they are techniques we have to use, given the nature of this enemy and the threat that it represents. I worked actually in the Pentagon rather than the White House, but I had the privilege of playing a very small role in the execution of the strategy that President Reagan adopted in 1983 as part of something he called National Security Decision Directive 75. It was a highly classified plan, basically for destroying Soviet communism. And it had at its core, in addition to rebuilding the United States military so that you could deter aggression against you and, if need be, you know, fight decisively. But to your point, Debbie, there were all kinds of other instruments that they recognized needed to be utilized to defeat this hostile ideology that, like today's totalitarians of the jihadist and Sharia school, seek, or at that time sought, our destruction. For example, President Reagan, you may recall, very specifically used a sort of counter-ideological strategy. He went after the legitimacy and kind of the underpinnings of Soviet communism, calling it the evil empire and swearing to put it on the ash heap of history and calling on, you know, the Gorbachev to tear down the wall and so on. I mean, it challenged the authority of those who were dominating that system. He used intelligence operations decisively. He used information operations to counter Soviet propaganda. He used economic warfare a critical ingredient in this overall program. And what we've done with our Secure Freedom strategy, which people can check out at our website, which is securefreedom.org, is basically update that plan and say, you know, it's as relevant today as it was back in the mid-'80s, and it's as needed, if not more, today as well.
You know, one thing, Frank, I do try to read a lot of things on your website, and one thing you just mentioned, this Secure Freedom strategy, is lengthy, but there is kind of a strategy summary that I read, and among the many things that you suggest doing, for example, colleges and universities exposing they're getting money from or affiliated with, getting money from or support from organizations that in any way have connection with radical Islam or with jihadists, I read some of those things. I thought, why are we not doing these things now? How could that be that we're not doing those things? It seems like so many of these things would be easy to implement that you suggest.
Well, all of them, frankly, are common sense. And they're the sorts of things that I think if the public were aware that we're not doing them, they'd be horrified, first of all, and they'd want to make sure we are. But this really, the problem flows from the policies of the Obama administration and, frankly, to some extent, the Bush administration before it, which failed in both cases really to come to grips with the nature of the enemy. And if you don't understand that you are up against a totalitarian ideology that is seeking your destruction and that it has this sort of patina of religion about it, but it's fundamentally about power, not faith, then you don't take steps like the one you just mentioned, countering what they're doing in terms of propaganda or subversion on our campuses, or in the press, or in the financial sector, or in our government, or in, you know, the church, or any number of other places where, as I say, the Muslim Brotherhood is waging what they call civilization jihad. We have to awaken to this danger. That's really what our strategy is about, first and foremost, and then it's applying these common sense tools to defeat it.
I really cannot urge our listeners strongly enough to go to the website. Did you say it is securefreedom.org?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because you also have Center for Security Policy, which has a broad .org, broad, just amazing amounts of information, and can get drawn in and spend days at that website. But
it's the same site. It's just the two domain names feed into each other.
Oh, okay.
The one that's just a little easier to remember, securefreedom.org.
Yes, it certainly is. Well, you know, Frank, we're actually up against a break. I had wanted to ask you, I don't know if you're able to hang on, I had wanted to ask you about, you held in Washington last week, or 2 weeks ago, you held a summit called Defeat Jihad Summit, and that was a week before President Obama held his violent extremism summit. And I wanted to ask you about that. Do you have time to hold on during the break and come back?
I'd be happy to. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so very much. This is Debbie Georgette. Ladies, can we talk? Come on back after our break.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Ladies, did you hear that public schools in America are pushing for the expansion of the number of kids who are served dinner at school, along, of course, with breakfast and lunch? And the trend is growing. In 13 states, just last year, 104 million dinners served to students in schools. And the government reimburses schools for serving dinners, often paying the schools more than the food costs. So the schools are, of course, incentivized to grow these programs. A win-win, right? Except, what about the impact this trend will have on family closeness, parental responsibilities, and family planning decisions? And who spends time with your kids shaping the next generation's views? This is Debbie Georgiadis. While we do have a noble society that cares for the poor, our policies and our tax dollars should not be used to wean parenting responsibilities away from parents or that substitute government for mom and dad. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
What does it mean to be a worship leader, to lift and encourage God's people week after week without losing energy, momentum, or inspiration? To be a worship pastor, and yes, we said pastor, because your role is to create an environment that connects people in worship. You need support. You need to calibrate. Monday, March 16th, worship leaders, worship staff, lead pastors, join us for Calibrate, the Worship Leader event, a coming together of people dedicated to helping you help your congregation organization, your staff, to provide insight, guidance, and support to truly turn your music ministry into something that also ministers to you and your team. Join worship leaders Mac Powell from Third Day, Danny Gokey, Christy Knuckles, and Mark Hall from Casting Crowns, hosted by author and radio personality Frank Reed at Northwood Church in Keller. Register now at CalibrateWorship.com. That's CalibrateWorship.com. Go to CalibrateWorship.com.
Hey, it's Mark Davis. Thank you so much to those who have already signed on to help us at Food for the Poor and their Food for a Year Water for Life program. One-time gift of $50 gives a child, a starving child in Haiti or Guatemala, food for a year and helps pay for water that can keep them alive forever because they're currently not even going to school because they're having to tote water from a lake 5 miles away. This is no way to live. It's poverty like we'll never see in America, one would hope. But right now it exists and there's something we can do about it. Your one-time gift of $50 saves a kid's life for a year with Food for a Year and Water for Life. $250, 5 kids. $500, 10 kids. Go 1,000, we'll do something very special for you. Co-host The Mark Davis Show with me, 9 o'clock hour, or we'll go to lunch anywhere you want. Phone number is 855-916-HOPE, 855-916-HOPE. $250 gets you Celebrate Freedom concert passes. 855-916-HOPE or #250, say the keyword Mark Davis. #250, then say the keyword Mark Davis or 855-916-HOPE.
All coughs aren't the same, and neither are all cough medicines. Robitussin DM Max is a fast, powerful cough medicine with a unique dual-action liquid that instantly soothes your throat and relieves even the toughest coughs that can come with a cold. Wet, dry, and hacking. Don't let a cough control you. Control your cough with Robitussin DM Max. Soothe your throat, relieve your cough, and don't suffer the consequences. Use as directed.
Welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
Hey, Staples guy, how do I know I'm getting the best price on this laptop?
Staples will match our competitors' prices, even if you find it online.
What about this tablet?
Price match guarantee.
And the smartphone?
Yep.
What about these ink cartridges, my chances of winning the lottery, and toner?
Guaranteed. No way guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Make on budget happen. Make best prices happen. Staples. Make more happen. Now at Staples, get an Asus X205 laptop for only $149, powered by Intel.
Offer ends 2/21/15 in-store and online while supplies last. Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com. For details.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Good evening again, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. And thank you so much for tuning in. We have online with us this evening, we kept online through our break, Frank Gaffney, who in 1988 established the Center for Security Policy and is truly a national expert on subjects of national security policy, especially relating to the way in which America deals with the threat of radical Islam. And so, Frank, I wanted to ask you about, and the reason I'm so glad you could stay on through the break is this past week, on February, I think it was 18th and 19th, President Obama held this violent extremism summit where a lot of commentary was about how there was almost no mention of Islam, Muslim, jihad, anything related to the threat, the elephant in the room, so to speak. But the previous week, your Secure Freedom organization held a defeat jihad summit and right in Washington, and it seemed very different from what President Obama did this past week. So why did you organize that defeat jihad? What did you hope to accomplish? Tell us all about that.
Debbie, thank you for the chance to explore it. What we wanted to do was basically contrast a clear, coherent, and we think realistic assessment of the dangers we're facing with this, well, highly misleading and indeed, I think, quite dangerous approach the president showcased the following week. As you indicated, he calls it countering violent extremism. And the trouble with that is that this really misses altogether the nature of this hostile ideology, very much rooted in Islam. Again, I have emphasized that not all Muslims embrace this program, thank God, but the authorities of the faith do. As I say, the ones who are considered by the authorities of the faith to be good Muslims are those that are engaged in the kind of violent, horrifying jihadist activity that the Islamic State is conducting at the moment. The bad Muslims, as far as, again, the authorities of the faith are concerned, are those who don't who don't follow jihad, who don't practice it in one way or the other, the violent kind. And by the way, one of the other things that I forgot to mention in talking about other ways in which this jihadism is encouraged by the authorities of the faith is by encouraging, as important as the jihadist activities themselves, is providing material support for those jihadists. That is a sacred duty. If you're not going to engage in, you know, one form or another of this, the very least you have to do is to tithe and otherwise make it possible. So we wanted to showcase, really, I think, the absurdity, and for that matter, the dangerous absurdity of the president's approach. We wanted to give senior, thoughtful, and very influential figures like your own Senator Ted Cruz and Governor Bobby Jindal and Newt Gingrich and the former Attorney General of the United States, Michael Lucchese, and leaders from Europe and elsewhere an opportunity to challenge both the accuracy of the president's program and the advisability of engaging in it.
So did you secure for this defeat jihad summit? Did you issue kind of a list of here's what America needs to do and send it over to the White House?
Well, we did in a fashion. We certainly put forward our strategy, the Secure Freedom Strategy, and we offered in a sort of press release the kind of key findings of this program. And basically, it's as we've been talking about. It's being clear about the nature of the enemy. It is rejecting policies. And by the way, it wasn't just the Countering Violent Extremism Summit, as it was called, that kind of airbrushed out of the threat environment the jihadists and their program. It's the president's national security strategy, which was unveiled, you know, shortly before our event. There's hardly any reference to Islam at all in that document. It's as though it doesn't factor in. And this is clearly not either, as I say, accurate or responsible. And when you combine it with this sort of suppression within our intelligence community, within our military, within our Department of Homeland Security, within our law enforcement community, of situational awareness, as the military calls it, about these realities, the nature of the jihad, the Sharia as its impetus, the pursuit of it through various techniques, the role of the Muslim Brotherhood, and so on, you really are doing two things. One, you're leaving us unnecessarily exposed to great danger. And secondly, you're actually emboldening these enemies because they interpret what you're doing as evidence of your submission, weakness. And when they see that, Debbie, as you know, their doctrine of Sharia dictates, the Quran itself says, you must make the infidel feel subdued. It's not enough that they submit. They must understand that that is their permanent lot in life. And that means more violence, not less.
Frank Gaffney, I can hardly thank you enough for all you do for America. I urge our listeners again to go to securefreedom.org and to read the material there. And actually, what about, what if you're a really concerned citizen and for the first time you're tuning into this issue, what do you tell people to do? What do you advise?
First off, to do just what they're evidently doing at the moment, which is pay attention, learn about this, tap resources. Your own work is tremendously valuable in this regard, as ours is and others. There is a wealth of information, and you need to know what you're talking about before you engage in this, because we're up against very serious, disciplined, and capable adversaries who have particularly succeeded at kind of information dominance, as the military says, keeping us clueless about what we're up against and taking advantage of it when we try to counter it in an uninformed way. So getting knowledgeable about it. And then there's some very practical steps. If I may recommend one other tool, something we put together 2 years or so ago now is called Muslim Brotherhood in America. It's an online free video-based course. And as you know, Debbie, you can find it at online, MuslimBrotherhoodInAmerica.com. And Section 10 of that course, I urge everybody to really go through the whole thing if they can, but Section 10 of that course offers some very specific things that individuals can do once they've learned a bit about this, and they can help as individuals, they can help as members of groups, they can help as citizens of this country.
I commend every listener, and I'll post it on our Facebook page later and on our website. These are just invaluable resources that Frank Gaffney has made available through securefreedom.org. We do have one other quick question I want to ask you, and then we're going to be up against our next break. But I know that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is scheduled to speak in Congress on March 3rd, I think it is. And there have been some congressmen signaling that they may not attend. They're going to boycott it, I guess, either because they object to the failure to follow protocol and ask the White House, or because they don't want to have to, you know, stand up for America and challenge Iran. But what signal do you think we send to our enemies if congressmen boycott Netanyahu's speech?
Well, look, I think what's happening here is the politicization of a very important moment when the elected leader of a key national ally, Israel, is coming to deliver a solemn and very knowledgeable warning about what is happening as a result of the president's, I think, failed and increasingly reckless diplomacy. And to have Democrats adopt a sort of party line policy here that they're not interested in hearing it because of some nonsense about protocol is both insulting to Bibi Netanyahu, and it leaves them, I think, susceptible to this very willful blindness that I was talking about a moment ago. We can't afford it, especially when the stakes are as high as they are with respect to an Iran armed with nuclear weapons.
Frank Gaffney, thank you so very much for calling in tonight to Ladies Can We Talk. We appreciate your friendship, appreciate your work for America. And again, everyone go to securefreedom.org. And again, thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you, Debbie.
Ladies, we're going to go to our next break. This is Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis. We have one more little segment, and then we have a second hour now, Ladies Can We Talk. I have two of my political allies and buddies here, Mari Sullivan and Carrie Kellum, will be here after this in the second hour. And so come on back after the break to Ladies Can We Talk.
Saying I don't know is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Do you ever feel like we live in kind of an upside-down world when you think about what the media is trying to sell us? When poll after poll says Americans never wanted Obamacare, do not want it now, and will never want it, why does our media try to tell us it's radical to try to repeal it and responsible to keep it? The truth is, it's radical to railroad through the nationalization of healthcare against the will of the American people, based on lie after lie by the president about being able to keep your doctor, keep your health insurance. And it was done with a legislative bill not one congressman or senator read before voting on it. It's irresponsible to do anything but repeal it. If you want a world that's more right side up, we need more truth-telling. And that's what we do on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, Sundays at 6 p.m. Join me, because truth matters.
Too many Americans are living without dental insurance, which means they might not be getting even the most basic care for their families. After all, a simple cleaning can cost $100, and other procedures like crowns and root canals can cost hundreds more. That's why at Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, we're proud to offer dental coverage that Americans can afford for less than a dollar a day, with the freedom to choose any dentist you want and never pay a deductible. This isn't a discount plan. This is real dental insurance that can help pay for over 300 procedures. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies no matter what, even for folks on Medicare. We're on a mission to help provide Americans with good dental insurance. So please, if you don't have coverage, call 1-800-300-9802 for all the details. That's 1-800-300-9802. To receive a free information kit directly by mail, 1-800-300-9802.
Hey, it's Mark Davis with another report on how great it is to be on Dr. Black's Healthy Fresh Start program. Part of it is eating right, I'm losing weight, feeling great, got a lot of energy. And you know what else? I've gotten rid of some of the bad stuff that we're all putting into our bodies. You ever wonder why cancer is skyrocketing, diabetes, heart attacks? The environment we live in is becoming more and more filled with toxins. Food we eat, air we breathe, water we drink, our bodies are overloaded. All kinds of cancer, diabetes, high cholesterol. Does it have to be this way? No. We first need to help our bodies cleanse the toxins out of us and then start looking at what we put in. Over 10,000 people are already using Dr. Black's Healthy Fresh Start program, and I'm proud to be one of them. I'm dropping pounds. I'm dropping inches. I feel great. Lots of energy. People are saying they're not sick as often. There are all kinds of things. They're coming off of meds. In some cases, having a wonderful time. 214-420-4020. 214-420-4020. Learn more. Do it now. Change your life. 214-420-4020 or healthyfreshstart.com.
Hello, gorgeous. Bare Minerals just won its 10th Glammy Award for Best Prestige Foundation. And to celebrate, we're offering risk-free trials of Bare Minerals makeup to all women nationwide. That's right. Every woman who calls right now can get a full-size risk-free trial of Bare Minerals makeup, plus a free 5-piece makeup set. For yours, call 1-800-700-9104. This is an exclusive radio-only offer you don't want to miss. Bare Minerals Foundation gives you flawlessly beautiful coverage with a no-makeup feel, and it's clinically proven to promote clearer, healthier-looking skin. No wonder it's won 10 Glammys in a row, and now you can try Bare Minerals makeup for yourself. Call now to find out how you can participate in our nationwide risk-free trial and join the millions who've already tried Bare Minerals makeup and fallen in love with their skin again. Plus, we'll send you a free 5-piece makeup set, our gift to you. Hurry, don't miss this exclusive radio-only offer. 1-800-700-9104. 1-800-700-9104.
Dallas-Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I just so appreciate you tuning in every week. And, you know, this is the last segment of the first hour. It's also the last Sunday in February. And I didn't want February to get away without turning a bit of attention to Black History Month. February is Black History Month, and I often write an editorial this time of year, I didn't do it this year, about the idea that I hope we get someday in a place in America where we don't think in terms of Black History Month and in terms of all the divisiveness that that suggests. I mean, I know Black History Month came along as a positive idea of just honoring the great contributions of Americans throughout our history who were Black and who may have contributed in many ways and not gotten adequate attention in our media or in our society, and so we want to honor contributions of everyone, but it has turned in many cases to be a grievance month and a more less of an honoring of the past and a and more of a grievance airing. And I also just think it often tends, if the articles you read in Black referring to Black History Month, talk mostly from the liberal perspective, talk from the you know, America is a bunch of divided groups. This is the liberal way of approaching everything in life. We divide Americans by race, ethnicity, age, gender, wealth, and then we pit them against each other. This is the entire way liberals win elections, that Democrat Party wins elections, is making grievance groups and then adding them up until they have enough members of those grievance groups. And I really want to commend, I love in Black History Month, to commend conservative Black Americans who bravely speak out and go against, you know, go against the grain, go against the tide, and speak out in defense of conservative ideas as Black Americans. I want to just mention three of them today, because it's not brave in the slightest to be part of the grievance industry. Al Sharpton is not brave. Jesse Jackson is not brave. Eric Holder is not brave. Grieving and complaining and lamenting and accusing your fellow Americans of hidden racism or overt racism, constantly creating and engendering fear in other Americans about what their fellow Americans think of them. There's nothing brave and nothing noble about that. There are some noble people I want to refer to. One today, this is kind of interesting. I don't know if any of you, probably a lot of you actually watch Fox News, and there is one liberal commentator, quasi-liberal commentator, named Juan Williams, and he had an editorial in the Wall Street Journal called America's Most Influential Thinker on Race. This is Juan Williams, a Black American Fox News commentator, and his choice, and whom he dedicates the entire article to, is United States Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And it's really a beautiful article and a beautiful tribute to Clarence Thomas. Among the things he points out is that Clarence Thomas, loved by conservatives, loathed by liberals, but he speaks about the decisions. You know, Clarence Thomas does not, he's not a prolific speech giver. He doesn't go around the country building up angry mobs, you know, trying to make people mad at other Americans. He speaks eloquently, thoughtfully, and deeply. And what he, in this particular article, Juan Williams talks about is that Clarence Thomas's opinions are rooted in the premise that the 14th Amendment, guaranteeing equal rights for all cannot mean different things for different people. And so, as a consequence, this is me speaking now, not Juan Williams, he does not support affirmative action programs. And he has written just, you know, very bravely and subjecting himself to endless mockery and derision and scathing reviews by the American left because they think they're angry with him for daring to be a well-educated, extremely intelligent black man who's conservative. And, you know, I want to point out just a little hint of the racism there. What the left is saying is, we've decided because of the color of your skin, you have to be liberal. We tell you, you must think like a liberal. You're not allowed to have conservative views, or we're going to. It isn't just that they attack his views. They attack the idea that he's black and dares to articulate conservative views. And there are many, many examples. Juan, I urge you to go to Juan Williams. You can find it online, of course, on the Wall Street Journal, Juan Williams' article about Clarence Thomas. But he makes a couple points I want to make, and I'm going to turn to two other people I hope to honor in this quick time before our break is going to come up. But he wrote one dissenting opinion. Clarence Thomas wrote, in a case that preserved affirmative action, the policies of the University of Michigan Law School, Clarence Thomas quoted an 1865 speech given by one of the black Americans in history who's regularly honored, Frederick Douglass. He says, "What I ask for the," and at that time Frederick Douglass used the word Negro, "what I ask for the Negro is not benevolence, not pity, not sympathy, but simply justice." And then Clarence Thomas goes on to say, "Like Douglass, I believe blacks, can achieve in every avenue of American life without the meddling of university administrators." So there's a great article. I urge you to go see that. I also wanted to make mention there's a very cool book. It's not a new book. It's been out, I don't know, a year maybe or less than a year. But there's a gentleman, Dr. Jason Riley, who is now, I think, an editorial board member of the Wall Street Journal, but he wrote a book called, and he's a black American, he wrote, "Please Stop Helping Us: How Liberals Make It Harder for Blacks to Succeed." Again, this is bravery. It's not brave to be there's nothing brave, in my opinion, about Jesse Jackson or other people who constantly try to stir up racial suspicion. This is an American hero, Jason Riley. Great book. I probably could never get him for an interview, but I'd love to interview him. He's quite impressive. And then the last one I wanted to share, there is a black American named Dr. Thomas Sowell. S-O-W-E-L-L. And he was actually interviewed recently, and I brought a copy of the interview with me. He is a PhD, a doctor of economics. He's written, I don't know how many books, many books. He writes books trying to take economics, which I think some people think is kind of a boring area of study or dry or irrelevant, and make it meaningful in everyday policy and everyday American life. And what Dr. Thomas Sowell talked about was, as he's watched over the decades, he's now 84 years old. 84. It's kind of amazing. He's still active. He's still, I think he's at Stanford at the Hoover Institute, and he's still, which is, he doesn't teach there, but he researches and writes, and he's just renowned in the field of economics. He's a brilliant man. And he was interviewed recently and talked about watching over the decades of his working in observing American society and economy and culture. He talks about observing deterioration and seeing many things deteriorate, meaning go down, get worse, in American society, and talks about things, you know, deterioration of society, and he was asked, you know, is it permanent, and is America going the wrong direction permanent, or do you think it can be reversed? And here's what he said: that exact question is also the question, is there a point of no return? And that's what I really fear. This is an interview after the fall elections in November. He said, had the Democrats maintained control of both houses of Congress, maintained control of the Senate, and Obama had been able to appoint federal judges up and down the line for the next couple of years, perhaps even some Supreme Court justices, I don't know how we could recover from that. Because that would mean, in effect, that the deterioration of the rule of law would continue on long after he is gone. And this is what the most shocking thing he said, but these are Thomas Sowell's words, far-fetched as it may seem, if Iran, the country of Iran, were to launch a couple of nuclear bombs into the United States, I think President Obama would surrender. Don't forget, Japan surrendered after only two nuclear bombs, and Japan was a lot tougher country in 1945 than we are today. I tell you, when Thomas Sowell said that, a lot of heads turned, a lot of people said, whoa, what in the world is he talking about? But I raise all that to say there are serious, articulate, passionate, conservative Black Americans whose words deserve at least the amount of attention we give to the things that are said by Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and other race agitators in America. That's Dr. Thomas Sowell. I urge you to look up that interview. He just was he's an extraordinary contributor to American culture and American thought. So that was my tribute to Black History Month. I can't tell you how important I think it is for America to rise above the determination to see each other as people who are divided by race, divided by ethnicity, and unite around those good foundational building blocks of America, the only source of American unity, American strength. The only way America can get back on track and become strong again is to reject divisive politics and embrace the beauty of the American founding ideals and embrace America's goodness. This is Debbie Georgiatis, Ladies Can We Talk, and come on back after the break. For our second hour, we have my two friends on, Carrie Kellerman and Mari Sullivan. Come on back after the break. About the German and French heads of state flying off to meet with Russia's Vladimir Putin in an effort to prevent the crisis in the Ukraine from spiraling out of control? Can you remember the last time America was not at the table when a global hotspot threatened to turn into a world war? Does anyone really think America's absence is leading to a safer world? I sure don't. The world is desperate for strong American leadership, but everyone now recognizes it's just not going to come from this president. Are we all just helpless bystanders in this fundamental transformation we never asked for? Debbie Georgiatis here, your host on Ladies Can We Talk. In Texas, we don't do helpless. On my show, we talk about standing up to save this great nation. Join the fight and tune in every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. We speak up for America.
What's the secret to great business trips? Choice Hotels, where you'll find everything a business traveler needs, like a generous rewards program. And right now, choose Choice twice for two separate trips and get a night at no price. Stay for business at Choice Hotels and book now at choicehotels.com. Great endings begin here. Free night based on an 8,000-point Choice Privileges Reward night at over 1,500 hotels. Valid 2/19/15 through 4/22/15. Requires registration and two separate qualifying stays. Other terms and conditions apply. Details at choicehotels.com.
Attention men, are you urinating often, waking at night to urinate? We want to send you a free bottle of Super Beta Prostate, made with a natural ingredient that supports healthy urine flow, bladder emptying, and is shown